Welcome to Cleveland Clinic Health Talk Podcasts, featuring presentations by leading Cleveland Clinic physicians and medical experts. Today's speaker, Dr. Yang Chen, presents osteoporosis. Get the solid facts.
My talk today is about osteoporosis in postmenopausal women. Basically, I'm talking about more, for female issues. So what is osteoporosis? Basically, osteoporosis is the low bone mass and also microarchitecture disruption and also increase the bone fracture. So how do we diagnose osteoporosis? First, we need to know what the patient fracture risk factor is. What are those risk factors? We talk later. And clinically, we always order bone density, use bone density as a tool to diagnose osteoporosis. When the bone density T-score is less than minus 1.0, that's considered normal. Anything more than minus 2.5, that's osteoporosis. And in between, it's osteopenia. So what is the risk factor for osteoporosis? Age is a bigger risk factor. Usually, we consider a woman post-menopause after age 65, it's a risk factor. And the previous bone fracture, particularly the wrist fracture, hip fracture, and the spinal fracture is a high risk factor for osteoporosis. And also for those patients, they require steroid treatment for other medical issues, like asthma patient, and some patients, they have, the cancer requires steroid treatment. Also, certain diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, the lupus patient, they use a steroid for more than 6 months, considered long-term treatment. And the other risk factor is skinny, the very thin, low weight patients, and the Caucasian also considered as a risk factor. Usually, the body mass index less than 20, that's, it's considered the risk factor. Family history, it's another the risk factor for osteoporosis, particularly if they have a family history of fractures. The parents, mother, sibling had a hip fracture, that's a risk factor for the patient. Cigarette smoking, it's another risk factor. So cigarettes, it's a really bad thing, has a lot of compact to the body, cause cancer, also cause the osteoporosis. Excessive alcohol intake, which means patient drinks every day, particularly for those patients, they drink more than two glasses of per day, that's considered excessive alcohol intake. So who needs a bone density test? Who needs those osteoporosis screening? So our current recommendation is that bone density should, we need to do the bone density test for all over age 65 or older in female, basically. And also for those patients, they are post-menopause women, they are not age 65 yet, but they have at least one or more those fracture risk factors we just talked earlier. We do not suggest to perform routine bone density in premenopausal women. Only a few exceptions, for those idiopathic fracture patients, then sometimes we will consider. And also we are not really do a routine bone density test for men because we don't have a very good data about treatment, the benefit. For male patients, so we do not do a routine bone density test in the male patient. So how do we manage osteoporosis? Couple of things. First, we need to do a lifestyle measure, and the other part is basically medication treatment. So what is the lifestyle measures? One is the calcium and the vitamin D. Our recommendation for calcium treat osteoporosis, it's at least 500 milligram a day, and between 500 to 800 milligram. This is a combination between diet and supplement. Vitamin D for osteoporosis, the recommendation is 800 international unit. That's just for osteoporosis. It's not a, you know, it's not for daily supplement. A routine daily supplement, internal medicine will often recommend 2,000 unit a day vitamin D. Exercise, it's a weight-bearing exercise, which is the exercise we improve osteoporosis, particularly for spine and the hip joint. And also muscle strengthen, those exercises is also important, like yoga exercise, Pilates, those are good exercise for osteoporosis. Stop smoking, that's the other issue. We need, you know, the smoking patient really need, if you have osteoporosis, stop smoking, it's the very important, you know, action. So regarding the pharmacological therapy, who are the candidates needed to be treated? So basically all the women post-menopause, if their bone density showed more than T-score, more than minus 2.5, which means osteoporosis, they all needed to receive medication treatment, plus calcium vitamin D exercise. So what are the drug medication choices? The first line, the top number one, the medication choice is bisphosphonate, which include Fosamax, Actonel, and the Boniva. The reason this is the first line is one is easy, simple to take. You know, it's a medication, oral medication, and also the price is not expensive. You know, it's compared to other medications, it's cheap. And also long-term safety, we have those informations, it's very safe. If a patient cannot tolerate oral medication, then we consider IV medication. There's an IV bisphosphonate medication available, it's called Reclast. I think many of our patients know that medication. It's a once a year IV medication. And usually we need to go through the Medicare insurance to get approval before we give the medication. If a patient cannot tolerate those bisphosphonate, then the other medication include this Prolia. This medication is quite expensive. It's not a first line treatment. We only use for patients they cannot tolerate bisphosphonate for other reasons, like renal insufficiency. If a patient has abnormal renal function, those patients usually cannot tolerate Boniva, Fosamax, Reclast, then we will consider Prolia. You know, it's a different category. The other medication, it's a parathyroid hormone therapy, which is a 4-TIL. This also medication very, very expensive. Among all the other medications, this is the medication increase bone formation. All the other medication, it's basically reduce bone resorption. This 4-TIL, it's increase bone formation. So 4-TIL has a possible side effect, which is the renal cancer. So the treatment at this point, it's only for 2 years. But this is a very expensive medication. It's not our first line treatment. It's only for patients that has a very, very low bone density. Usually it's more than minus 3.5 and also couldn't tolerate other medications or not a response to the other medication treatment. In the past, we used a lot of medication like estrogen to increase the bone density, but this is not our first line anymore. We only use the estrogen for those patients that they have you know, the post-menopause symptoms like a hot flash. So we treat one medication, basically patient to get benefit for both post-menopause symptoms and increase the bone density. Calcitonin, which is a nasal spray, it's become less and less popular now. The reason is we don't have a long-term safety data. And also to improve, you know, the bone density, we don't, compared to other medications, seems like it's not as good as other medications. So we use less and less frequently. Now some patients also people, you know, ask for, how about two medications? You know, maybe Fosamax, combined with the 4-TIL. So far, all the studies showed those two combination medication, it's not really superior compared to single medication treatment. So for that reason, we are not recommend combination treatment for any patients. So what's the side effect of those medications? Lots of patients are concerned because those bisphosphonate, when you take the medication, you need to sit straight for at least 30 minutes, and you need to drink 1 to 2 8-ounce glasses of water to make sure the medication go down to the stomach. Only those patients, they able to sit straight for 30 minutes, they can take oral medication. The reason is those medication might have a side effect, GI side effect. Mainly it's a reflux, esophagitis, peptic ulcer disease. Mm-hmm. But even patients with those medication, with those medical situations, the reflux, the esophagitis, peptic ulcer disease, they are not contraindicated for the medications. As long as you're able to drink a fluid, able to sit straight, you are still can take those oral bisphosphonate. Only one condition you should not take bisphosphonate. It's called Barrett's esophagitis, which is a precancerous esophageal disease. So those patients, you shouldn't take those oral bisphosphonate. And also, if a patient cannot tolerate oral medication, say if they have a stomach structure, then they couldn't take medication. All the other patients should consider bisphosphonate. It's a first line of choice. So the other side effect is a hypocalcemia, low calcium level. So for all those patients, they receive bisphosphonate. We always check their calcium level, check vitamin D level. And for patients to get IV reclassed, it's very important to get those level checked. Make sure they have sufficient calcium, so can avoid those hypocalcemia. The other possible side effect is severe muscle pain. Very, very rare, but occasionally we get patients called that after getting medication, they have a very sharp, very severe the muscle ache. And usually those pain, it's not reversible after it's harder to say not reversible, but after you start to stop the medication, it will last for a while, sometimes a week, even 2 weeks. Eventually, when the medication went away, then the pain, we disappear. But this is very, very rare side effect. Renal insufficiency, it's another possible side effect. It's not common, but it can happen. So with all those patients receive bisphosphonate, we check their kidney function. If their creatinine clearance less than 30%, those patients are contraindicated to get oral bisphosphonate. So Prolia will be the choice of for those renal insufficiency patients. Eye side effect, ocular, which is also very rare, but can happen. And usually it's conjunctivitis, it's a pink eye, uveitis. Sometimes patients complain of blurred vision, happens too. Now the other thing is about osteonecrosis of the jaw. One time, many years ago, there was a report, 2020, Diane Sawyer reported the case has osteonecrosis, which is very, very rare. And so only happens for those patients, they use bisphosphonate for prolonged period of time, more than 5 years or more than 10 years. The reason is those majority medication, it's reduce the bone resorption. So the bone become harder, but they are old, so easy to break. But so right now, the current guideline, if a patient take bisphosphonate, after 5 years, they should take a vocational break. So don't continue. After 5 years, you need to consider to stop the medication and recheck the bone density. Another possible side effect is atrial fibrillation, also very, very rare. And we believe this is related to low calcium level. So if you check a calcium level before you start the medication, you take calcium, vitamin D regularly, you should be able to avoid those side effects. It's very, very rare. So should not be considered as a scared contraindication to start the medication. So how do we monitor, after you start the treatment? How do we monitor the patient? Usually, our bone density is we repeat every 2 years after you start a treatment. If the bone density improve or stay the same, stable, which consider the treatment it's useful, it's effective. If the bone density decreased, then you need to talk to the doctor. Maybe you need to consider to switch a different medications. Or at least we need to try to find out what's the reason cause this decrease. Could it be low vitamin D or not to take enough calcium? So we need to find the cause. And for a patient who has osteopenia and which don't have too much the fracture risk factor, they actually can repeat a bone density every 3 to 5 years. It's not necessary to repeat every 2 years. For people who have a normal bone density, exercise regularly, do not have those fracture risk factor, you can repeat a bone density every 5 to 10 years. So that's my talk. And I talk a little bit about a male patient. In the male patient, usually we do not recommend the bone density test. In certain situation, I do. The patients, if they do a regular x-ray, and that the x-ray show that their bone density, bone look very thin. Those patients we usually do need a repeat bone density. There's also one guideline regarding the male patient about the bone density. They are considered for patient over age 70, if they have those fracture risk factors, smoker, drink excessive alcohol, had a fracture before, those patients probably can do the bone density, male patient. And the treatment should be the same as a female patient. That's my talk. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Cleveland Clinic Health Talk Podcasts. For more information, please visit our website at clevelandclinic.org/health.